Welcome. It's great to have you here. We're very excited to talk about Office this afternoon. We have a lot of great topics to cover, everything from Microsoft Graph that was mentioned, Teams, SharePoint framework, and also connectors, and how developers can really take advantage of as Office as a platform. We have a lot of great announcements we've made this year, and we're excited to take this time to share them with you and do a lot of demos. We're going to jump right in and show you the things we're building and how developers can take advantage of them to make their apps a native part of Office, take advantage of the intelligence of the graph and all of our new platforms, whether it's SharePoint framework or Teams and extensibility to Outlook. So with us today, we have Shiva, who's actually going to be talking specifically about the Outlook connectors, and Larry, who's going to be talking about Teams, Yina, about everything Microsoft Graph, and Chox, specifically about SharePoint framework. So we'll kind of just jump right in. Well, this will be a conversation today. We'll talk about what we're excited about and then be able to actually show you what we're excited about, and then, of course, take your questions all along the way. So we'll start kind of down at the end. Shiva, tell us a little bit about what you're most excited about of all the announcements we've had recently with Outlook connectors and Outlook extensibility in general.
Sure, Daniel. Thanks for having me here. I'm really excited about actionable messages with Office 365, and I think it presents this new opportunity for developers to engage with the users in Office 365. So if you look at Office 365, it has about 85 million users, and it's growing rapidly. And we have a lot of services that are integrated, and they are sending a lot of these messages to these users. And often a lot of these messages, they have tasks and follow-up things in there. But that said, the users, there's a lot of friction for these users. They have to frequently context switch. You know, they have to go to a website, they have to log in order to take that action. And that's really a challenge today. And with actionable messages, we believe that, you know, there's a great solution for these users to take those actions right within Outlook. It's also available as a platform. So, I think there's a fantastic solution out here. And we'll cover more about that shortly.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, positive features with that because users spend so much of their time in Outlook, right, to be able to extend those actions in the Outlook. That's really powerful for developers. So we're looking forward to seeing some demos on that. Larry, of course, there's been a lot of information that's come out recently just on Teams and as a product from Microsoft in preview. And of course, as part of that has also just been the SDKs that developers can start to use to extend that as well. Mm-hmm. What are you most excited about with Teams?
Where do I start? Thanks, Daniel. You're throwing me some softballs over here. I think Teams as a brand new chat-based collaboration product is just such an exciting opportunity for our customers, but also for developers. Of course, we've got support for bots via the bot framework. And we have Tabs as well, which is this great new canvas and surface for developers to be able to plug in their applications and surface really rich embedded content within Teams and be able to have that alongside bots and that conversational interface. We think is a really powerful way for developers to extend and to get their functionality in. And to Shiva's earlier point, you've got 85 million monthly active users that are addressable and reachable. And I think it's just a great opportunity for developers. We've got a lot of exciting stuff in our roadmap. We want to do a lot more with bots and tabs and other integration points. So, excited, but preview is just one small step towards a much longer journey.
Yeah, and it's super excited to think about all the kind of new applications people can come up with Office, kind of under the Office mm-hmm. flag, whether it's conversations as a platform, bots, mm-hmm. the tabs, the connectors. There's a lot of canvas there for developers to build productivity solutions. Behind a lot of that today is the intelligence of the Microsoft Graph. And it's been a big year and a lot of features we've had recently come up from the graph. What's most exciting to you, Yina?
Yeah, so actually is the graph, Microsoft Graph first birthday. We announced it last year at Connect. So it's pretty exciting
that
to be
very
back
exciting.
Here
Happy
and
birthday,
say
Microsoft Graph. I would have brought a cake or something.
Yes, I know, missed that one. So it's the first birthday of Microsoft Graph, and throughout this year, there's a whole bunch of services that we've been adding to the graph, both on fixed data that you can access through the Microsoft Graph, like user information, groups, mail, calendar, contact, files, and the list just goes on, and also intelligent services. The People API has been one that has been very popular, trending around, and find meeting times, all of these different things that we have that are been growing in the graph and making it super powerful for developers to build applications that are more contextual. Just recently, there's three things that I'm very excited about. The first one is we announced the general availability of the Excel REST API on Microsoft Graph, which means that you can get access to the tables and ranges and charts within Excel. So that's pretty awesome. The second one is, of course, SharePoint. SharePoint support in the Microsoft Graph, which is one of our biggest requests from developers. And we've started to get some of that into preview. And the third one is around hybrid and getting hybrid support into Microsoft Graph, again, as preview for Exchange deployment. So it means that if your customers' mailboxes are on the cloud or on premises, you can use the Microsoft Graph to build the applications and still be able to reach the data no matter where that is.
All three of those are huge.
Yep.
I mean, if you think about two of the places that have always kind of meant Office extensibility, right? It's Excel from the beginning, and then SharePoint and all the ecosystems that build around that. And then, of course, being able to actually get graph data built in a hybrid scenario makes that even more powerful. That's super exciting stuff from the graph. And then what about, Shox, from your side, SharePoint Framework, obviously a big summer for, and then even fall for what you guys have announced and what's out there. What's most exciting and what has a lot of momentum out there right now with what you guys have out there?
There's been a lot of interest with, I think, when you look back at SharePoint, how it has been for the past, I don't know, 15 years
or
so, right? So we have been like tasked to go and innovate in that space to give us a productive space for the companies and intranets to build and get things out of the graph, all the other things we have in Office 365 to work as one big product. And this year we did a lot of work, and you can always see that there is surveys out there that still say that 9 out of 10 best intranets built in SharePoint today by the Nielsen Norman group. So we have a lot of momentum still going on, and with all of this new stuff that we as Microsoft, when we wanted to give it to our users, we felt there needed to be a change in how we build things and how we integrate things into SharePoint and make it fast and robust. So that's where the birth of SharePoint Framework came in. And now we have moved to an entire client-side developer model, which not only the third-party developers, but also Microsoft, us, when we go and build features, now we use the same framework. So there is a guarantee that this framework going to be, as much as feature rich as possible. So not only Microsoft, but also developers can go and build. So we started off, I think, a few months back, and it's all in the new client-side development framework where we use Node, NPM, and other open source tooling a lot. And basically, we have now reached Drop 5. So that was our last drop that
Congrats.
We had.
And that was really recently, right? That
it was very recently. Yeah. And we also moved the availability of the developer preview for the SharePoint framework to first release tenants, which was another huge request by the developers that they can use it at least with their production tenants and other data where the tenants, where the data is in their tenants. So yeah, the first release was something that we announced in the European SharePoint conference this week.
This week, yeah.
Yeah, so that has been going good. I think many people are excited to try it out in their
That's
production
great.
Tenants.
I mean, it's so exciting. Well, you always think about SharePoint beyond kind of its beyond just the portal and the features end users have. It's always been a place where developers can extend that to meet business solutions. So it's great to have a framework that has a lot of kind of current web dev tools in there to extend that. So it's very excited. Well, we're going to spend a good amount of time today not just talking back and forth, but actually diving in the demo. So we're actually going to head over to our demo table, and Shiva and Larry are going to actually spend some time diving in directly into some of the features we just talked about that we're excited to show.
Great. Thanks again. So I'm going to go over some of the great latest and greatest extensibility solutions we have for Outlook, starting with connectors. So what you see here is I'm connected to my inbox in Outlook on the web, and a lot of these things I'm showing from Outlook on the web, but they're also coming to other clients pretty soon. So a while ago we introduced connectors for groups, Office 365 groups. But we've also brought it to the inbox, and that's pretty cool because you know most of our users, you know, they work from the inbox, so we really want to try to get them, you know, hooked up to connectors and get productive there. So a user can set up connectors by going to the gear menu here, yeah, once it's there you go with manage integrations. And when that comes up in a moment, what you see here is, you know, we have with manage integrations, we have add-ins and connectors, which are now kind of together, because both of these are these great extensibility solutions, which is targeted at users to be productive. And there, you can now click on connectors, and some of the top connectors or the popular connectors that we have seen with groups is now available in the inbox. Here I've you know pre-configured my Trello connector, and you know with this configuration I can bring in some of the most relevant notifications that I care about. And by doing that, you know I'm going to quickly show about you know I can create this card in Trello, and again you know Trello is this project management tool software, and it's in you know it's used pretty widely. So let me go create one quickly. I'm going to type in demo connectors. I'm going to go assign it to someone on the team, and I'm going to click it there. Now, since I have hooked it up to my inbox, in a moment, you know the connector message shows up right here in line, and as you see here, it's represented in a consistent in this rich card format, and it has all that key information in there that's really easy to consume and you know to really understand what's happened there. And one of the new things that we have introduced here is actions with connectors, you know all the these actions, they're contextual. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is you know each of these connectors themselves they are tailored for each application, and therefore it gives us the opportunity to enable those actions which is relevant for that service and for that particular information in there. And along with these actions, you know, there are certain controls that we have built that we believe will work for about 80% or 90% of the scenarios here. So in this case, we have a date picker, and so I can set a due date right from within Outlook. And why this is again very important, we feel, is because you know there's a lot of these applications where you know if they're not mission critical, mm-hmm. Just the you know the friction for the users to have to switch context tends to, where these users drop off. They don't really do that right away. And which also means that these applications don't have data that's fresh in their system. So by enabling these actions right in the context of Outlook, you know, there's this opportunity for users to engage right away with this application. So there are some other cool actions that we have enabled, along with the various input controls like a list picker and adding a comment with a text test. Text box here. Okay. The next thing here is, you know, I've just shown you connectors in the context of the inbox with actions. We also, all these connectors are also available with actions in the context of groups. Our groups ecosystem with connectors is pretty vibrant. We have close to about 100 connectors there. We also have a great third-party ecosystem. And we have seen a lot of applications that are contributing to this particular, to the solution. If you go to dev.outlook.com/connectors, we have a lot of cool resources, and you know I'm also going to show you one of the latest tools that we have in a moment. The next thing is that I want to really show here is actionable messages with email. So today a company has several line of business applications, which is sending messages like you know expense approval messages, and you know you're expected to go click on it to approve it. There are also, you know, you get these emails wherein you have to approve a document or share something with people. And these are very simple actions, and again, that require a lot of context switching. And you can do that. You can enable actionable messages with that as well. So here's an example. You know, let's assume that you have a vacation approval service in your organization, and this is a SharePoint site which mimics that. And we have a great solution from Microsoft, which is Microsoft Flow, which can send mm-hmm. these approval emails with this actionable message markup. And so now you can actually, you know, take actions on them. So What you see here is a SharePoint list which has the Microsoft Flow integrated with it. So anytime there's a change to this list, it's going to send this approval email to my inbox or to whosoever inbox that you choose to with these actions. So in the interest of time, I have pre-created one of these entries. I'm going to switch back to my inbox. And here is an example of the vacation approval email that you see here. Again, it's in the consistent card format. One of the things here is the same platform which powers connectors also powers these actionable messages. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy for a developer to build on top of this. And what I'm going to do here is, as a user, I'm going to go approve this this vacation request. And by doing so, one of the things you notice here is that card is updated or refreshed in place. And so this is another powerful capability we have. Like, there are certain messages where once you take an action on it, you basically want to get done with it. You don't want to allow new action. So you can actually refresh the card in place. So that's another cool feature capability of this platform. Now, all of this, again, is built on the connector platform itself. And we have this cool tool, to enable our developers to visualize the markup that's sent down to enable these cards, be it connector cards or these actionable messages via SMTP. And the way this works is, if you've read about connectors, if you're aware of connectors, as a developer, you can there's a schema, the connector card schema, and you send that schema to the incoming webhook for your application that's created in Office 365. And the payload format is effectively the connector card schema and what you see here on the left in this playground. And if you send a schema like this, it's going to render a card in the application which looks which you can see, it's similar to what you see on the right. And you can edit this in real time. For example, I can go in here and I can knock a few, some details here, and you can see this refresh in real time. So let me just do that. There you go. So as you see, when I remove this fact, one of this fact just, got removed here. So as a developer, you can actually play around with this and actually visualize the kind of content that you want to send down. So this is a new tool. It's available online at aka.ms/messagecardplayground. In addition to this, there are a lot of new resources that we're putting out there at dev.outlook.com/actions. So I encourage developers to go check it out. This will really help them get started with actionable messages. Once again, actionable messages is in a preview. So as a developer, if you really want, you can go try this out. But if you are ready to start building that, I encourage them to come, contact us. There's a form out there to express your interest and your scenario, and we'll get back to you with that. I want to get to another, we have a very important solution here, which is add-ins. That's another great extensibility solution for Outlook, which lets you run these, a light footprint of an application right within Outlook. Again, it's a very vibrant system. We have about 200 odd add-ins today, and we have tripled in the last year, so it's a pretty rich solution. And there are some new things that we have introduced. Again, one of the core principle for add-ins is to enable add-ins on in all the Outlook endpoints. Mm-hmm. So we're bringing add-ins to Outlook on the Mac as well. It's shipping shortly. If you're on the Insider program, you probably have access to it right away. So I encourage you to try that out. And here's an example of an add-in. Now, one of the cool thing that's happening with the add-in is the add-in commands are going to show up in line right within the message, as you see here. So if I click on the Salesforce add-in, it's going to launch right within right within the message. This may take a couple of seconds. Actually, it loaded right away. And another cool feature that we're bringing to the table is you'll be able to pin these add-ins right within Outlook. So as you traverse through those messages, you don't have to, you don't have to keep relaunching it. And this was a common pain point we got from our developers and users. So we have this ability as well, and that's shipping shortly. So along with the new integrated application, the store, which simplifies user acquisition, I think we've got a lot of cool things, riding on the with add-ins as well. And now I'm going to switch over to Larry.
Great. Hard to follow that up. Thanks, Shiva. Switch over here. So I'm going to go through some of the high-level integration points within Microsoft Teams that are available to developers. So I'm going to start over here in the Teams view and go to one of these channels. And just continuing from what Shiva's talked about with connectors, one of the great things about the connectors platform is that it spans both Outlook groups as well as Teams. So right from here, you can click on the connectors dialog. It might take a couple seconds. There we go. And you can see here that we've pulled up the catalog of all the connectors that are supported. And these are the same connectors that you would see in Outlook and OAuth. We've got all the same great third-party integrations and services. And for instance, one of the things you can do is if you wanted to set up a custom incoming webhook where using the same payload and the same JSON schema that Shiva just showed using the connectors card playground, you can go and set up one of these incoming webhook connections here. You can give it a name. Send an image if you'd like, and create that. And that'll create that incoming webhook, give you a URL, and then you can post updates into that channel as it's done. And so, you know, again, showing the power of the connectors platform and how we're able to span both the Outlook groups as well as Teams. And it's the same, same set of integrations, the same card schema, and the rendering is uniform across both Microsoft Teams as well as OAuth. And so moving along to what I love about the product, and I know folks are really excited, is tabs. And this is a great extensibility point that is you know, really a rich way for developers to add their content and rich embedding within Microsoft Teams. And so you know, we've got some that are built in already. So when I click this plus button, you can see we've got a lot of the great Microsoft Office apps already in there for productivity and collaboration, Excel, OneNote, Planner, Power BI. But it's also an extensibility point for third-party developers. And so we can see here that we have Asana and Zendesk. So Zendesk, for instance, if I click on this and I click accept, you actually get this configuration experience where you can pick basically the content that you want to be shown in one of these tabs. And the great thing about this configuration experience is that this is provided by the developer. You know, this is not you know, some sort of command line thing where they go and set up an integration. We give a canvas where the developer can specify what they, what picker experience or dialog they want to show here. So in this case, let's do .com, authenticate. And so this is a native experience that in this case, Zendesk, one of our partners, has provided. And I'll pick one of these example lists and click save. And basically, that'll pin a Zendesk list or inside of a tab, and it'll show the native Zendesk experience. And so as a developer, it's really easy for you to take your existing web application and to have that inside of Microsoft Teams as a tab. And it really gives you that rich surface where, in addition to bot conversations where you can chat and you can do sort of more text-oriented interactions, you can also have your content in here and that full interaction without forcing your customers to switch context in and out of Teams and into a web browser, et cetera. And similarly, along the same lines, we have Asana, which was another partner of ours that we worked with to get their full native experience inside of Teams as a really nice immersive integration. And so, you know, with tabs, this is one of the pillars of integration that we had going into preview. And so this is available now for developers to integrate with. And we have an SDK and the full platform out in preview on dev.office.com. So I'll jump into chats. And, you know, I can't talk about Microsoft Teams without talking a little bit about bots. As I mentioned earlier, Microsoft Teams is fully integrated with the bot framework. So today, you can go to dev.botframework.com. You can register a bot on the website, enable the Microsoft Teams channel, and then basically from there, you're up and running. And you can add a bot and start using it inside of Microsoft Teams. So here, I'll just kind of run through some of the high-level features that we have. And the richness that you can deliver when you build a bot for Microsoft Teams. You can see here the card experiences that we have, where you can do rich formatting, you can do inline icons, clickable buttons. And so these are just some of the example cards that we have. In this case, TBot is the built-in product support and help bot for Teams. But it really is using exactly the same technology and platform that any developer can use to build a bot. So I'll just kind of show a couple of example questions, like how do I create a team? And on the back end, you know, it's using exactly the same natural language technology that, again, is available to any developer. You know, we leverage the bot framework, but also cognitive services and Lewis. And so, you know, again, with buttons as well, you can interact with these cards. And so you have that richness. Glad you found what you were looking for. Great. Thanks, T-Bot. Hubot as well is another bot that's quite popular. Let me see if I can show this. Scroll up a little bit. So unfortunately, Hubot is offline right now. I think we've gotten too many people that were asking for it publicly after we announced it. But just to kind of show, the usage of cards and buttons and these interactions in another context. So, you know, just kind of a small sampling of the types of things that you can do as a developer. One last thing I'll mention is that in addition to building your bot can also have tabs. So they're not separate things. In this case with T-Bot, we've got a help tab. And in here, you can have your content, your full additional content that you want to show alongside the conversation view with your bot. And so these are just some of the early days of the Microsoft Teams developer preview. And you know, really excited to have folks come on and start building for it. And there's a lot more that we have in store for everyone.
Great. Thank you both. Those are great demos. As we bring in both Yina and Chox to demo both for the graph and for SharePoint, I think it's really great to see some of those examples of our new platforms conversationally that can be built for interacting directly with Outlook, or also interacting with our new platform within Teams, but also having the same kind of frameworks that can be enabled there, whether it's the bot framework, whether it's tabs, et cetera. And also that there was notice that both of those places, or for examples, or for samples for either one of those, you can go out to dev.office. So now we're going to turn back over to Yina and Chox and talk a little bit about both the Microsoft Graph and SharePoint framework.
Thank you, Dan. So I'm going to start with Microsoft Graph. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, is graph.microsoft.com. You can type that into your browser and go immediately to there. So I'm going to ask for the team to switch to actually this laptop right here so we can start the demo from this machine. Thank you. Okay, so graph.microsoft.com, that's their developer portal. Here you will be able to find all of the information that you need in order to get started with the Microsoft Graph. We have a revamped getting started experience where basically you can try the API, get access to the user's calendar, get access to some files, get access to events, groups, and so forth, and then pick the platform of your choice to basically get started with the Microsoft Graph in less than 5 minutes. So it takes you to the app registration portal, allows you to set up your application, and then download a code sample that basically uses on that particular platform the very simple request to the graph. So very easy and fast to get started with the Microsoft Graph, graph.microsoft.com on the Getting Started tab. I'm also going to mention the API documentation is right here, and it's also available in GitHub, so you can go and look at that, all of the documentation there, and even contribute to that if you think that there's a better way to tell the story around the things that make you understand it better. So you can make a pull request to the documents and contribute to the documentation as well. And finally, I'm going to talk about the Graph Explorer. So the Graph Explorer is a web application built on top of the Microsoft Graph that allows you to make web requests to the API and see the responses right in line. In this version of the Graph Explorer that we actually released last week, you can use the Microsoft Graph with and try the API requests with just a demo tenant. So I don't need to sign in. I can just go and get information and start playing with the information from the API just with a demo account that we have provided. You can also sign in with your account, and once you do so, you'll be able to access the Microsoft Graph with all your data. So if in this time around, if I go to the me endpoint, basically what I get is all of the information from my profile coming from Office 365. And there's a whole bunch of functionality behind the Microsoft Graph, as we were discussing before, getting access to all of that information around files, calendar, events, conversations, groups, users, and all of that. I totally recommend that you go and check out the videos that we produce for Connect, where we're telling you about the latest updates. Gareth Jones from our team is doing a couple of demos around extensibility and SharePoint on the Microsoft Graph, which is actually one of the things that we announced over the Ignite timeframe. So I can come here to the Graph Explorer and say beta/SharePoint and get right there access to the SharePoint route. And I can start navigating across sites and lists and all of the content of SharePoint right within the Microsoft Graph. Another one of the videos that we had for Connect is showing the Microsoft Graph reaching out to hybrid deployments and explains completely end-to-end what is the configuration that is required from the Exchange's 2016 on-prem server in order to enable Microsoft Graph to reach out to on-premises. And that's pretty much basically the thing that the IT admins need to do, and then developers can go and access that information through the Microsoft Graph v1.0 endpoint and not really have to worry whether the user for the user's mailbox is on-prem or in the cloud. Now, I'm going to transition here to do a demo around the Excel REST API and how using the bot framework and the Microsoft Graph, you can get pretty cool scenarios. So I have a file here. This is an Excel file that is sitting in my OneDrive. And I'm going to take this and move it to the side. And QuickTime is going to launch QuickTime right here. So I can project my mobile. And it's not coming through. OK, there you go. So basically, I'm going to go back here. So to recap, I have an Excel file right here that has is using Excel to calculate a projection of T-shirt sales. This is imagine there's this small startup company that is selling T-shirts, and they've had all of the data for the last year in terms of their sales, and they're using that and some sentiment analysis from Twitter in terms of like how their T-shirts are picking up that they're doing with Azure ML, and now they have this projection using Excel core capabilities and the functionality that Excel has out of the box to calculate the projection of the sales, and I have Skype right here on my phone. And this is a bot that we built to interact with Excel through the REST API in Microsoft Graph. And when I say, well, I've been testing the bot for a while, so I say hi, it's going to say, hi, Yina. This is using the bot framework, and it's using Lua to do natural language understanding. And it has a mode right here where I'm going to say verbose on. Which is basically going to turn and show me the requests that the bot is making to the Microsoft Graph. So I'm going to now try to be adventurous and talk to the bot. Open sales plan. So sales plan is the name of this file that is sitting on my OneDrive. The bot is going to go and make a call request to Microsoft Graph. Look for my OneDrive and look for all of those files that are called sales plan. It finds the file and says, we're ready to work with Forecast. Forecast is this this sheet that I have right here. And I can say, look up November 2016 in Forecast. Now it's going to go to the table and look up that information, look at the get request that it's making, and it's saying, OK, you have November 2016. The current plan is we're going to sell $80,000. And it has the projections right there. Imagine I just got a call from the sales representative that says, we closed the deal with 40,000 more. So we're going to say, update plan to 120,000. So now the bot is going to go make that get request to get the data back and then look at the patch request that just made to update that particular cell to 120,000. We're going to see that update happen right here in the Excel as well. So just going to refresh the file. And oh. Well, let's try that again. Let's refresh that file again, and we'll see that the it's 120,000 for November 2016. So this is how you can build very cool scenarios that are integrating multiple technologies across Microsoft. So we're using the bot framework, we're using Lua from the bot framework at the Microsoft Graph, we're using Excel API to interact with all of that data, and build some of these cool integrations on top of the Microsoft Graph that allows you, you know, to be more contextual, build smarter applications with using technologies from different places. So that's about the things that I had to share about Microsoft Graph. The latest one, that the last one that I'll share is that a little bit about momentum over the last year. So as I mentioned, we made the announcement of Microsoft Graph a year ago at this very same conference. And over the last year, we've had about 50,000 applications that have been built on top of the Microsoft Graph. We're processing around 1 billion requests on a 30-day window, so that's a lot of traffic, and more than 50 million active users on a daily basis. So that's a lot of information, a lot of data, and I'm looking forward to hear about all of the different types of applications that developers get to build on top of the Microsoft Graph to get access to all of the that Office has to offer, and all of that Office 365 as a service has to offer. So thank you. Jax.
Yep, thanks, Ina. I'm going to quickly switch
this way.
So yeah, I mean, we have been also talking about the other Office application here, SharePoint, obviously here. So we did a lot of changes as well, and I think if you go to dev.office.com/SharePoint, which I'll open it here as well for users to just look at it. So if you type dev.office.com/SharePoint, we got a new homepage, new hub where developers can find a lot of other information available here. And you can right away say get started with the SharePoint framework, and we have awesome docs here that takes through the different setup that you need to get started with your SharePoint framework development. We did announce that we have web parts with the SharePoint framework with the preview, so that's our first UI integration that enables you to extend the existing SharePoint pages and the new modern pages with web parts. And web parts are a very familiar citizen amongst SharePoint developers. So here, if you go there, you see that you got options to get started, and we go through a tutorial where you can start from a simple hello world, learn the different basics of how to build these web parts, the tooling, the other debugging options you get, package and deployment, and it's kind of a total training package, I would say, that we built around these documents. And all of these documents, as you saw for the graph, how you can go edit and contribute, similarly, you can click edit in GitHub and it right takes you to the document, and you can contribute to this document as well by going through the SharePoint /sbdevdocs. Now, let me dive into the tooling over here. So I'm going to open a new tab and just go over here, create a new directory. So basically, our tool starts with creating a project, right? So usually for server-side development, there is Visual Studio with some awesome file new project wizards. But in the web world, a lot of things are done in the command prompt and using the command line tools, but they are still powerful as the file new project wizard. So we use a tool called Yo, which is YoMan. And it has a lot of integrations, not just for SharePoint, but say if you want to build an Angular app, if you want to build an Office add-in, we also have an YoMan Office add-in available as well. So if you go through the tutorials and follow the step, we have the generator, which is basically creates a new project called @Microsoft/SharePoint. At Microsoft just tells you that's a package from the Microsoft company. So you click that, you press enter, and that's going to give you some information on, hey, what is your solution name? Just like a bot, but really it's not a bot. And then what folder do you want to use? And then basically what's your web part name and what's your web part description? And also it gives an option to choose a framework. Now this is something really different in terms of building web parts. In server-side world, we had C# and Visual Basic, and you know, you get options to choose there and build it. In client-side world, there are these numerous JavaScript frameworks. Every day there is something out there. So we made sure that the SharePoint framework is agnostic of those JavaScript frameworks, and you can choose your own. We have three. One is NoFlavor, so you can choose that and integrate any framework that you want. The React is another popular one, so if you want React, we got there. And Knockout is also another simple, lightweight library that many people use. So we got React and Knockout into it. And we have seen people do Angular, both 1.5 and 2 as well. So So if you click that, that's going to go create a new project. Now, while this is running, I actually have a new project created here. And that's it. That's the folder structure that you have. And for editing code, obviously, you need a code editor. Now, we support basically any code editor in the world because this is just a normal client-side project. So you can open in any code project, any editor. And here I'm using Visual Studio Code. And here's what you can see, the project structure. It's a very basic client-side project, and all of your web parts are available in the source web parts folder. And here's my web part file. As you can see, another clear difference, we use TypeScript as our key programming language to build these things. And it's very, we have managed to make it very similar for server-side developers as they feel home. Mm-hmm. Just bringing all the you know, TypeScript goodness, which gives types for all of the things that you code in JavaScript. JavaScript actually doesn't have any types, and we prone to make mistakes. TypeScript helps us from doing that and also organize our code in a way that we can easily get back to it anytime, even after 10 years, and look at it and understand what we did. Now, going back to how do I debug this, we use the open source task runner called Gulp, which is very similar to MS Build, but it's just that Gulp is integrated with a lot of open source projects out there and web projects especially, and it has some certain tasks that you can run, and serve is one of the tasks that says, hey, serve this project from my local host. Now, that goes and compiles a project, generates all the output, especially the JavaScript output that it needs from the TypeScript. And then it gives you, it opens right in the browser with this new tool called SharePoint Workbench. Now, SharePoint Workbench is a way for testing web parts very quickly and easily within your dev environment. And one of the things that we have heard a lot of times is I need a VM for SharePoint, and you know, it's just too hard for me to deploy and test all of these things. So we went through the same phase when we wanted to build this experiences. So we made an app, SharePoint Workbench, that basically mimics the same behavior and has the same tool set that you get on a modern page. And now you can actually see your web part right here, and it gives the property pane integration, and you can see it is also reactive to what I type straight away from here. Now, this is fine. This is running in my local stuff. I can see this is just an image. But we also have the same version in SharePoint. So if you want to get the SharePoint context and build a solution, so you want to test APIs, so you can see the same workbench now running in my SharePoint tenant. Well, how do you know this is, I'm not joking here, if you actually see we have a SuiteNav integration right there. So that means you're actually in a SharePoint site. Now, here, again, I get the same thing. So I can now have APIs call to SharePoint and test it here. And I want to show one last thing. So here is another project that we built around a simple to-do web part in React. So it has got all the React goodness and talks about a lot of things in the framework, what you can use. And if you want to go through these web part, you can go to our github.com/SharePoint. And then we have spdevfx web parts, and we have samples. Now, if you're interested in contributing here, you can contribute here as well. And you can see there's a lot of samples here. And the React to-do basic is the one that I have. I'm going to quickly run that sample and show what it is. So I'm going to debug my code here, and it's going to open my workbench just like it did before. And you can see the simple to-do web part. So it gives an experience. Hey, I don't have anything to show. What do I do? Configure. And then it gives some mock data, so I can work with my mock data over here. But one of the cool things we did is to take this value of building client-side web parts and push it to server-side world,
because the server-side world is what many people today in organizations use SharePoint. That is what it's based on. So you can build the same code and run in classic page. So I'm going to go open this classic page here. I already added this web part here. Now you can actually see the same web part running. But at this time, you can see it's not using the mock. It's actually using the SharePoint list. So I can now go, just to make sure I'm not, you're not seeing the actual list. So you can see the actual team task list here. I can go and say, let me complete this. Now it's going to probably, yeah, I'm going to delete this. And that's going to refresh because it's classic page. And then if I come and refresh here, you don't see the task file. So that's the power of having client-side development, building web parts, and then also accruing value back to classic where your users are today. If you want to learn more, please go to dev.office.com/SharePoint. And you got a good segue from there to see how you can build these awesome new stuff. Thank you.
Excellent. Those are some great demos. Thanks, everyone. I loved seeing everything from the Outlook side of things and being able to see those great tools for cards on the team side of things, being able to see the bot and the developer tools that exist also for the tabs. That's great. Ina showed us the bot that actually was integrating with the REST API directly writing into Excel in real time. I think if we had a live studio audience, that one would get a good clap. We would only get a lot of positive reaction from that demo where it's actually showing the power of the graph, where you're updating content in real time and really actually taking advantage of Excel as a service in that scenario and taking advantage of files that are stored in Microsoft Cloud. And then I loved all the command line tools and scaffolding that was already there for the SharePoint framework with the Yeoman that are both together. So that's great. So thank you for everyone for those demos. We have a few questions coming in. We'll go ahead and grab one. Maybe just first one for Yina on the graph. We have a question from Sam regarding the hybrid scenarios for the APIs. I think it's a great question. If someone has on-prem mailboxes and they want to take advantage of the graph, do they have a separate API set they have to interact with, or how do they have to treat those scenarios differently?
So the hybrid configuration supports right now on the preview mode Exchange 2016 deployments on-prem, and there is a configuration step that the IT administrator will have to go through in order to enable the bridge between Microsoft Graph and the on-prem deployment. From then on, actually the API takes care of the rest. So Microsoft Graph takes care of the rest, and from the development perspective, you just basically code against graph.microsoft.com. For hybrid, we are putting everything under the v1.0 endpoint, and you build your application that interacts with messages, mail, with calendar, with conversations, and basically no other special secret sauce is needed.
That's great, right? Yeah. That's a fantastic scenario for that. Great question. Austin has a question I think that maybe is a common one that a lot of our devs will ask, and I'll put this one both out to Shiva and Larry,
sure.
Which is around how do we look at the future of integrating Office or Outlook groups sure. with Microsoft Teams? Maybe you could, both of you can kind of just chime in a little bit kind of on the story for that.
Yeah, that seems like a familiar question. So I would say that to start with, you know, the substrate that Groups and Microsoft Teams are built on, it's a shared foundation. You know, they're both built on the Office Groups platform. So under the covers, when you create a team in Microsoft Teams, it is using that roster in AAD. It is creating that SharePoint site. It's creating a OneNote notebook. So it is a shared workspace that actually roams across workloads. And one of the things that we are going to be doing towards our GA and beyond is bringing and bridging the Teams product with Outlook so that, you know, email and chat, you're able to kind of span both the Teams and Outlook products really easily. And because it is a shared roster and shared workloads in terms of documents and collaboration, it's really easy to move from one to the other. So absolutely, we're going to be bringing those two products closer together because they're shared on the same foundation.
Great. And then, Shox, just one thing, fun follow-up with you is you mentioned at the end there's videos out there because obviously the framework's new. You have people who maybe have been building on SharePoint for a long time, extensibility, and there's a new model in front of them. I know there's a good community out there for patterns and practices and videos. Can you maybe talk a little bit about what people should look for in both of those different areas?
Yeah, sure. So SharePoint PNP has been one of the key community-driven projects for SharePoint.
And recently, we got merged into the product group. So Vesap, who's leading the BNP efforts, is actually my peer. So we worked together to make sure we have the right materials, right samples.
And I always see a lot of updates there. It seems like every week
exactly.
there's new updates
yep.
on that.
They have webcast every week. I think two or three webcasts every week. So there's a lot of momentum going on now. So if you go to dev.office.com.
Also from
BNP,
the community, right? It's
exactly.
not just coming out yep. of Microsoft.
No, it's all from the community. So dev.office.com/PNP, and you'll get all the videos and webcasts that you can go through, especially, you know, not just for SharePoint Framework, but for the SharePoint add-ins, CSOM, and all of the goodness that SharePoint provides to get to understand what is the right way to build so that I'm not affected or, you know, I don't do the different thing and then later something happens and I'm
right.
stuck in this world where I can't update. So I would highly encourage people to go look at the PNP materials, trainings, and get familiar with a lot of stuff that is going on around SharePoint.
Great. And then I know both this one back for Shiva and Lara, that we saw a lot of good connectors that were both in both of your platforms, whether you're talking about directly connectors into Outlook or the tabs that exist on Teams. What are some of the most exciting connectors that you, maybe one we didn't see today that you see out there that would be really interesting for a developer to go take a look at as a
Yeah, so let me take that. Yeah, that's a great question. So you know, we have connectors from various segments, you know, from project management to social to, you know, developer productivity. And I think, you know, a lot of the top trending connectors tend to be in the project management side, and those are really used pretty broadly. The social ones are also pretty cool. So recently we had a submission for the Skim connector. Skim is really popular, you know, news story. So that's, so we have many connectors in that area. Another trend that emerging that we are seeing is a lot of the workflow-based solutions mm-hmm. are also enabling their connectors. So these are the ones that you know are popular in general, and that's where we are seeing the trend growing there.
Great. Larry, from your side, anything that you really like from the connectors or for the tab side?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen some really interesting integrations in terms of bots and tabs working together in conjunction in the channel or group conversation context. And so, you know, we for the announce event, we talked about Poly, which was actually a polling solution. It's a small startup based out of the Bay Area. And they brought intelligent conversations into the channel experience, but they also had a tab where they showed the dynamic poll results as cards and kind of being able to show those in conjunction. And to Shiva's earlier point about connectors and actionable messages, you know, that's something that's going to be coming to Teams as well as we look to light that up.
Question for you, Ina, just with regards to the graph. I know there's a lot of different, the power of the graph really is that it can be taken advantage of no matter what platform you're devving on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're taking advantage of an Office extensibility story or maybe just doing an iOS app, you may are writing in different platforms or tools to take advantage of the graph. What kind of SDKs are out there for different users to take advantage of,
yep.
of the graph?
Absolutely. So Microsoft Graph is a REST API endpoint and uses, so any device capable of making an HTTP request can make a call to the Microsoft Graph. And on top of the REST layer, we have SDKs on a variety of platforms. So we have .NET, we have iOS, Android, we have .NET works for Xamarin and ASP.NET as well. We have Ruby, we have PHP, we have JavaScript, which is recently in preview. So there's an entire variety of platforms that we have out there in terms of SDKs that developers can use with their tools of their choice in order to build on top of the Microsoft Graph.
Great. We have a question come in from the audience. You know, maybe I'll pass this one to you, Larry, but how can developers use both bots and tabs together?
Sure. So I guess I'll answer this question both in terms of technically how they do it as well as some of the interesting things. From a technical perspective, you know, right now you build your bot using the bot framework, and then you build a tab package, which is basically a manifest in JSON that defines how the tab's going to work in terms of the configuration experience as well as pointing to the content that's going to be shown in that tab. Now, as we move from our developer preview into GA, one of the things that we're going to do is have a single definition that specifies how that bot is going, you know, what's that bot ID from the bot framework, and then what are the tabs that you want to be shown alongside that bot by default. We know this is something that a lot of people have been asking for, and we're starting to see some interesting patterns where, you know, you've got the a conversational interface through bots, and so you have your rich card messages, you're able to click on buttons and interact with them, and then inside the tab, you kind of show, you know, in context, in situ, the results of that interaction. And one of the things that we're, you know, adding to the platform is the ability to kind of deep link from one to the other. And so you can click on a card message, it takes you into the tab. When you're looking at the tab, you can click on a deep link, one of those entities, and it'll take you to the message, be able to create these bridges between both bots and tabs. So, you know, this is an area that, again, going from preview to GA, we're going to invest a lot in this space, and there's going to be some really interesting things that developers will be able to do.
That's great. Cool. And then we have another question that's come in from Adriana, which is, Shiva, for your side, of how can developers try out actionable messages end-to-end experience? How can they tell that? I mean, I think it's super exciting, and a lot of people would want to test out how they can have their own apps in those actionable messages.
Yeah. So there are, with actionable messages, you know, there are two modalities. One is via SMTP mails, right? And to do that, you know, the way it works is you take up that mark, you know, I showed you the message card playground. So you can actually take the markup from there, and you can insert it into an SMTP mail in the head section of the message, right? And you can send it to yourself. And when you do that, you will actually get an actionable message with the markup there, with these actions. So that's the story for SMTP messages with actions. For connectors, we are working on a story, and the way we are looking at evolving that is, you know, connectors work based on webhooks. So today you can send a message through a webhook, and you know, it shows up as a card. We will shortly enable a way wherein the webhook message will also enable those actions, and that's not in, it's not available right now, but it'll be shortly.
Great, thank you. Well, very good. This has been an exciting session for us to talk a little and actually show some demos on where we're at with Office and Office extensibility. I think it really kind of just shows the richness of the platform, whether you're talking about SharePoint, whether you're talking about the intelligence of the graph and its extensibility and API, whether you're talking about Teams and the bots and tabs within there, or actually pulling direct actions into Outlook, which is a place where people spend so much of their time productivity. I think you can start to see the canvas that exists for developers that goes beyond maybe what you traditionally think about Office, which also can be extended. Of course, the things you think of today as maybe kind of the icons of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, but there's an enormous platform that really means extending productivity and extending productivity solutions. And we'll really see a lot of investment from Microsoft and for developers to build apps that do that. So, it's been great to be here with all of you. Thank you for your time and the demos. They were fantastic. And look forward to continuing this conversation on dev.office. So I encourage everyone to go out to dev.office, take a look at these samples, take a look at the videos, and even sample code up on GitHub as well. So we thank you for your time and look forward to continuing on next year when we're out here for the second birthday of Graph. Microsoft Graph. We'll make sure we have a cake as we continue this forward. So thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome.